Hallelujah. I want you, if you got your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 5 tonight. The title of my sermon tonight is Free to Love, Free to Serve. Free to love, free to serve.
It's been, you know, now how many of you know it's easy to love people that are nice and friendly and all that stuff. But we are in a time that, you know, I turned 60 years old here in January, and that's not old, but that I've been on earth, you know, for a while. And I've heard people that are older than me say they've never seen times like this that we're living in. And I don't think it's going to necessarily get any better out there in the world. They can't help it. They're sinners, right? But love is the characteristic of the family of God. God is love. And we have his divine nature. And so we're going to have to figure out some way how to love even those who are unlovely, those who don't agree with us, those who don't adhere to the word of God, right? You know, Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples indeed, by how you love one another. I found my notes. I actually have them in this notebook, believe it or not. One of my lab sermons from when I was a student at Rhema, one of my lab sermons, let's see if I can find it. Where was it? I saw it earlier. It was Love, the Key to World Evangelism. That was my lab sermon for Doc Horton. How many of you remember Doc Horton? Yeah, you know, only thing Doc really taught us in lab class is when the bell rings, quit. You know, he'd just growl at you. So, that buzzer went off. You had to be done. So you watched that thing like a hawk. All right. Did you find Galatians 5? I want to start in verse 1 because there's a couple things there. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So he's talking here to free people, and he's writing this, of course, to us too by the Holy Spirit. We are a free people, and we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, in context of this book, part of that is by trying to earn our standing with God through work. How many of you know that it's something that God did through Jesus Christ? However, then that once we're there is then requirements after that, not to be right with God, but to live right with God. Does that make sense to you? I mean, it's not just he made us right with God. We can't do anything about that. But, I mean, accept it. But to then go on and do what he said is then how to live as a person who is free. All right? So he tells them, don't get entangled again and, you know, stay hooked up with the Spirit. Then he gets over here into verse 13 of Galatians 5. Just for brothers, and that'd be sister and two, all of us together. You have been called unto freedom. I'm going to change the King James there to freedom. Only use not freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, I haven't been given freedom. I'm not free just to do whatever I want now. I'm free to love. He has set me free so that now I can love in the same way that I've been loved. Look over in John 13. I quoted part of it. Look at John 13. We'll come back here to Galatians. You know, I hear some folks that, you know, they want to, if you listen to some folks, they just want to act like there is no Old Testament whatsoever in the Bible. And you know the moral law as far as the Ten Commandments and the ethical, about being ethical, those things are still in place. But there's a greater law that encompasses all of them. That's the law of love. If I love, I'm not going to do those things. If I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to covet what you have. I'm not going to definitely going to murder you, right? If I love, and I'm not going to, and so here, in saying that, then we have a greater commandment. And when God gives a commandment, you know, really, there's no debating it. When God says, do that, you can't, I mean, you could go to God because you can talk to God about anything. But, you know, God, I don't think I'm not going to love in this instance. Well, you know what he's going to talk to you about? How you can love in this instance. Amen. Because he told us to do it. Now, he says here, and I'm seeing several students here in this class, this term minister's heart. We're talking about these things. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, Who's the you? Every one of us in here that's a child of God. So this is a commandment that God's giving us, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. The greatest witness we could ever give to the world is if we begin, first of all, to love one another. Right? Really, all of the false religions in the world are one of two things. They're trying to get to God somehow, or they're trying to find somebody to love them. Amen. Somebody, please love me. Please accept me. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing, because we have been accepted. We have been loved by Him. And through reading the Word of God, we find out that the number one way Jesus loved us is that He laid down His life for us willingly. We're going to look at that. So I'm back in Galatians, if you will, chapter 5. Hallelujah. So he says, use your freedom not for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now I know that's what he's saying. And Jesus, if you put what Jesus said with that, love your neighbor as yourself, then that we have to understand how I'm loved first. If I have to love my neighbor as I love myself, if I don't love myself, if I don't know I'm loved, then I'm not going to love very well. First of all, the foundation of this, you have to know God loves you regardless of it. Before the foundation of the world, He made a decision to love you. So it's not based on your actions. It's not based on any decisions you have made. God made a decision that trumps your decision. In other words, you're loved. Now, that doesn't mean you're pleasing to God or that you're even a child of God. God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's when we were enemies, God showed His love to us. Now, how many of you know that love has to be accepted? All right, so we're not trying to say, don't try to make us say something we're not here. But he goes on and says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Then he talks about, and it's still in context of this idea of using your freedom to love, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Now, what do we know? Well, I'll say this. Every work of the flesh is outside the love of God. If I have, he talks about there in verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, not walking in love. Fornication, not in love. Uncleanness, not in love. Lasciviousness, not in love. All the things he lists there to us are outside of loving people. Because most of those things are using people. Hello? They're using people. They're the opposite of love. See, love desires to benefit others at the expense of itself, because love desires to give. Well, lust, which brings hatred into it, but lust desires to benefit myself at the expense of others, because lust wants to get. And I'm not free. I'm not been set free for an occasion to my flesh. I'm not been set free so that I could live in adultery. I haven't been set free so I could have hatred and variance and wrath and strife, envy and all these things. I've not been set free for that. I've been set free so I can love. And he goes on to say then, what's the fruit of the Spirit? What's the very first thing listed? Love. And so all these things, not just love, but all these things listed here are manifestations of that love that's in us. You can't have joy without love. You can't have peace, long-suffering. None of these things operate without the love of God. All right? Now, let's go over then to Philippians, if you would, chapter 2. Philippians. Look here in chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 5, and I'm going to bring this up here in another. Let me find the passion here, because I know he's got it good. All right. We're going to start here in verse 5. I'll read from the King James verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of translations use what Pastor Hagin talked about this morning, attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Passion Translation says, Consider the example of Jesus, the anointed one, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Now, what was that? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What's that saying? It's not about you. It's not about me. To love others, I can't make it about me. It has to be about the other person. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a what? A servant. It was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. He made himself. He made himself. I'm going to tell you right now, God will not make you do this. You have to do this on your own, voluntarily do this. Each person is responsible for living their life according to the word of God. The Amplified says he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity to do what? To come and be like us on the earth. He humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Go to Matthew chapter 20, please. Now, one of the things that in looking at this, you know, you think, well, wait a minute, if I'm sacrificing myself all the time for others and I'm giving of myself for others all the time, what about me? Well, the Bible said that he'd never leave you nor forsake you. See, that's God's part. That's God's part. You know, if you're where God told you to be, doing what God told you to do, you have every right to go to God and say, hey, God, I want to eat while I'm doing this. I got to pay my bills, God. I'm here doing what you told me to do, right? I'm giving, I'm tithing, I'm doing everything like that. Hey, amen. Now, he might tell you, well, here's something you're not doing, right? Like you heard Brother Hagin say that God told him, well, you don't qualify. You've been obedient, but you're not willing. I always loved it when he said, it doesn't take long to get willing. Amen. See, make an attitude, like Pastor said this morning, change your mindset, make an attitude adjustment. Just quickly, I'm willing to love others, God. Okay, Matthew 20, start in verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him, the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, that's James and John, worshiping, desiring a certain thing of him. Verse 21, Matthew 20, 21 now. And he said, what will you? And she said, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on your right hand, the other on the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Be baptized with the baptism that I baptize with? And they said unto him, I think the spirit of Peter came on him, we're able. You know, Peter, oh yeah, we can do it, God. All right. But Jesus said, you shall indeed drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard, they were moved with indignation against the brethren. What does that mean? They're mad. They're upset. Now listen, James and John. We're with Jesus. Don't be bringing your mama in here. Talking to Jesus, trying to cut the rest of us out, right? So they're upset. But look how Jesus answers this, verse 25. He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, that's in the world, they exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now notice it's not exercise dominion for them or authority for them. It's over them and upon them. See, that's how the world operates. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Same word here translated servant. So whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto or to be served, but to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, he said we're free to serve. Free to love and free to serve. Well, how do we do that? We have to understand that this is how Jesus operated. He had this attitude of life. He had this mindset of life. I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm not here for me. I'm here to do what God's called me to do, and that's going to be to bless people and to serve people. You know, I thought of it this way. I was trying to get my wrap my mind around this. I just, you know, in talking and praying about this and talking to God, this has been just a few years ago. And the thought I was reading there in Philippians about us being, we're citizens of the house, and we're citizens of heaven. That I'm a citizen of heaven. I've got the life of God in me. And then putting that together with 2 Corinthians 5, that we are ambassadors, I thought, well, wait a minute now. If I'm a citizen of heaven, that means I could live there right now. I'm a citizen. I have rights and privileges there right now. So God, when I got born again, how come I just didn't immediately go to heaven? How come we just don't go to heaven? And he told, this is the answer I heard on the inside, because others have to hear. So you're still on the earth so that others can hear the message. Now, no matter what, you might not be called to get behind a pulpit. You might not be called to ever preach a sermon or to go ever, to any other nation, but you might be called to send. You might be called to work with children. You might be called to work with the youth. You might be called to park cars. You might be called to be part of the greatest ushering team in the history of church here at Rhema. Amen. You might be called to be a connection team. You see what I'm saying? You might be called, and that doesn't matter. Right? Many of you in this church, you're called in the business world. That's outstanding. Amen? Whatever it is you're called to, remember your purpose is so that others can hear. We're here as ambassadors representing heaven itself. And so that's why I'm free to love and free to serve. I'm free to serve as an ambassador of heaven. That's my job description. Now, I realize there's more detail to that for each and every one of us. But if you want him to generalize, we are here as his ambassadors, right? And so each person then, he took upon himself the form of a servant. Every Christian and child of God is a child of God. But have you realized this? Not every child of God is a servant of God. Unfortunately. Look at James 1. Look what it says. Look what James said. Now here's James. This is not James and John. This is not John's brother. That James was put to death. This is James, the brother of Jesus, who when Jesus was on the earth, it wasn't until his resurrection that his brothers and family really, other than his mother, really came in to believe in who he was. You remember the one time they showed up at one of his, where he was, and they wanted to take him away because they thought he lost his mind. You know, you got that family, you know. Amen. I've heard other people talk about it and had some family members say, you know, don't lose your mind over the Bible. No, I'm trying to lose my mind over the Bible. I'm trying to get that mind. Amen. James 1, look what he said here. Now, this is the physical brother of Jesus. But now he says, James, a servant of God, that's the first one, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. A servant of God. Now he had to choose to be a servant of God. Now Titus, drop back to Titus right there before. Well, right before Philemon. Who was I talking to? Because I think it'd be hilarious if his actual name was Philemon. But somebody told me, they said, well, that's how you say it in our language, Philemon. I said, I want to speak your language. That might be French, I don't know, or a form of it. It's Tad's French language, which is non-spoken. Some of you will get that later. That's all right. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. But notice, first of all, they are servants of God. Their specific calling followed that. You're not going to be an apostle and not be a servant of God. James was a pastor. You're not going to be a pastor and not be a servant of God. And I'm going to tell you this, you can't serve God and not serve people. It's just like we can't love God. Go to 1 John chapter 4, we can't love God and not love people. Well, I love you, Lord. I love you, God. I just think you're so wonderful. I thank you. I love you so much, God. Hey, go help. No, I don't have time for that, God. Amen. Now, you know, like I said, I was When I came to Rhema, I graduated from school in 1984. I was 23 years old. So to me, some of my instructors, like Cooper Beatty, was the Ancient of Days back then. You know, I thought he was. But he taught into his early 90s here, you know. But I'll never forget in Johannine Epistles class. I thought it was 209, but actually it was room 213 on that corner. Because the classrooms used to be turned long ways in there. And so Cooper was there, and I was sitting in the second row over on the very end of the row. And Cooper walked over to the end of the platform, and he was talking. He read this scripture, verse 20, 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love his brother whom he's not seen? And Cooper put his hand out like this, and he said, your love for God can only rise as high as the person you love the least. Because how can you say you love God whom you've not seen and you don't even love your brother whom you have seen? I've never forgotten that. Now, I haven't been perfect at it. I'm not trying to say that. But I can still hear him saying it and see the look on his face. And our entire class, it just went silent in there. Just silence. It was a tremendous, tremendous point that he made. Now, the term here, servant, that Paul uses and that James used, servant, it literally means a love servant. Some translations say love slave, but let's use the term love servant. What does that mean? Someone who is a free man or woman who, because of love, serves another. Someone who is free, man or woman, doesn't matter what. Someone who is free, let's just say it that way. Someone who is free, and because of love, they choose to serve someone else. That's what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about being so, how many of you know that love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? Now, we're not talking about a one-time thing. We're talking about this is our life. It is about service. We ought to constantly be on alert for opportunities to love people the way we have been loved. Now, have you ever thought about that? The Bible says Jesus laid down his life. A free person who has become a servant lays aside my personal rights and privileges to benefit someone else. So if I'm going to serve you, I may have to lay aside my own personal rights and privileges to be able to serve you and to love you in this situation. Now, I'm not afraid of doing without because I know God's got me. He meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How can he who loved us not freely with that same sacrifice that Jesus made freely give us all things? Everything I need, I just go to him, right? Just tell him, hey, Father, I need this. But when it comes, there might be a time, you know, you found this out. If you live by faith, especially, there's sometimes you don't have any money in your pocket. Why? God told you to give it. Now, God, you know, that's my hide money. That's why you hid it. I'm getting into it. Everything you got came from me anyway. You remember when David, remember when they were taking up the offering for the temple and David took up that, God told David, you can't build the temple. You've been a man of war and a man of blood, but your son, I'll let Solomon build it. So David said, well, then if I can't build it, I'm going to pay for it. So he brought all his stuff together and he said, any of y'all, the rest of you want to bring it together, bring together. And so they brought it all, that big offering together. And then David, as he prayed over it, said, God, we have brought nothing that didn't come from your hand. Everything we have came from your good hand. Hallelujah. You know, I know when I first learned this, I had to tell some family members and they thank God. The person I know that's the biggest giver that I've met personally in my life is my dad. That man is so generous. He's so generous. And just not only to the family, but to people. He's just very, very generous. When he got saved and he got a hold of us, he just became very, just a generous, not that he wasn't before, but I'm just saying, you know, we got born again. He just lives this. You know, I'm 60 years old. And he's handing me cash all the time here, you know, just handed all the kids. He does that to all of us. Because he just has to give. Amen. Well, all of us ought to be that. We just can't stand it. I got to give something today. I got to be a blessing. I got to serve somebody today. It could be just opening a door for somebody. Thank God we got these masks off now. You can actually smile at somebody and they know why you're looking silly at them. Walking around stores with these masks on, I'm going, you know, and they're people looking at me like, you know, I need one with a smile painted on it, I guess. But you know what I'm saying. Amen. And you know, for me to walk around the store and smile at people, that's a miracle of God. Because I'm not that social. You know, I tell people, you know, it's not that I don't necessarily want to talk to you, but sometimes that's it. I don't want to talk to you. If we're in Walmart and I see you, I'm probably going to go 2 hours around just to get to where I got to go. Not that I don't like you, not that there's anything wrong with you, but I'm not necessarily there to have a conversation with you. Bless your darling heart. All right, there's nothing wrong with you. I'm just being honest here, okay? Glory to God. So, to lay down my rights and privileges to benefit another. Back up here in 1 John, look at 1 John chapter 3. Now, then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1. There is evidence that you are a Christian. Now, first of all, I didn't say there's a gift of evidence checking. I'm going around checking everybody's evidence. No, this is for you and I to know that if we're living like we're supposed to, okay? Look what he says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Did you find that? Good. Back up to verse 14. Sorry. Here, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And he goes on here and say, look, it's not just words either, it's words and deeds. You know, James said this, look, you say you can't just tell your brother who's hungry or and cold, be warm, be filled. You have to get him a coat and feed him, right? It's not just, you know, be warm, be filled. It's not just, it's not just word, it's deed. I'll tell you this, when you start walking in love like this, you start making decisions, the compassion of God's going to rise up in you. And it's in there, but it's going to rise up. I like to think of compassion as love with its sleeves rolled up. I mean, it's ready to do something for somebody, all right? And now look at Ephesians chapter 1. So what did he say? How do we know we've passed from death to life? Because we love the brethren. Now Paul told the Galatians, we are free through freedom. Use your freedom, not for occasion to your flesh, not for you. Yes, you're free. Praise God. We ought to declare how free we are and don't let the devil bind you in any way. But then use that freedom. Use that freedom to serve others. To love them and to serve them. Now, you know, I'm going to make a statement here because it's part of the subject. But, you know, if you're thinking about getting married, if you're not so excited about how you're going to be able to serve that person and help that person, then you're not loving them. You're lusting after them. Because it's all about you. Hello. All right, let's move along because you didn't like that. Ephesians chapter 1. What does love do? Love serves. Husband, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave himself for it. What would happen if husbands would start laying down their lives for their wives? Because that's what Jesus did for us. What would happen? Well, I would, but you know her. No, it didn't say, you know, I knew you too. And Jesus laid down his life for you. I knew me. Even said when I was his enemy, he loved me. Your wife might be your enemy right now. Love her. You might think she's your, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I got to get off that because I'm going to stir. Ephesians 1. And don't be looking up here like I'm the perfect husband either. Don't be, you know, that's not me. 1 John 1, 15. I do have a perfect wife. Amen. You young preacher should have learned something right there, but all right. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Evidently, that's the proof. There's proof there. How many of you want to be a great faith person? You're going to have to be a greater love person. Because faith works by love. He said, after I've heard of your faith, faith in who? In the Lord Jesus. Absolutely, that's where our faith is. My faith's not in any institution. It's not even, I believe in the church, but that's not, my faith's not in the church. It's not in any government structure. It's not in any person. My faith is in the King who we said is coming back. We sang that song, the King is coming. That's my faith is in the Lord Jesus. And I love, first of all, he's talking about love unto all the saints. We got to start in the house of God first. We got to start in our own family. Amen. Because you know your family, have you ever thought about this? You really didn't get to choose your family. Right? I mean, you were born into that family and, you know, you didn't get a vote on it. I guarantee your brothers and sisters didn't vote on it, you know, if you're younger. I was the oldest in my family. I didn't vote. My parents didn't ask my opinion. Right? So, you know, that's what. And so we have to start there. We have to start with our own family, not just natural, but our spiritual family. All right? So let's think of it this way. We've got to love every person that calls Rhema Bible Church their home. Every person. All right? Love unto all the saints at Rhema Bible Church. Then once we got there, then all the saints in Broken Arrow, all the saints in Tulsa County, Wagner, all the different places, loving all the saints. Now, we're going to have more contact with the saints right here. And sometimes that makes it more difficult. Amen. You know, when you're trying to cross the street and they, you know, the traffic team, thank God for our traffic team, that puts their hand up and people don't, you know, and they're coming, you think you're going to get run over. I know we had, I don't know if it's happened here, I'm sure it has. I know at our church one time in Illinois, we had people out there helping people park, and one guy didn't like where they were asking him to park, and he tried to run him down. The parking lot attendant, the guy in his car tried to run him down. Yeah. Got out of his car, slammed the door, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you, Jesus. You know. Don't you wish we could lay hands on people suddenly? And repeatedly. some folks you wish, you know. But we're not free. We're not free for that. We're not free for the occasion to our flesh. When I was associate pastor of the church in Kentucky there with Pat Butcher, we had a rash. I don't know what it was. For several months, like for 6 months, people kept showing up. God sent us here. And 3 weeks later, God sent them somewhere else. I don't know who their God, who their God they were listening to, but they had a schizophrenic God because that God changed his mind all the time. What that meant was God sent us here. When can we preach? Right? You know, some of you know. And so I told him, and we were talking about, you don't always do, and sometimes when you say something, you're just saying it. It's not, you know, well, I wouldn't say that. I didn't mean it in my heart. But I said, you know, I almost wish when someone, the next person that says, God sent us here, can we just punch him right in the nose? Just punch him, bam! Because if God sent me somewhere, what you do to me is not going to stop me from being there. God sent me there. But you can't do that. Don't use your freedom for occasion to the punch in the nose. Amen. All right. So let's go back then to Galatians. So through love, how many of you are glad you're free tonight? Amen. I'm so glad that we are free. But we need to understand that our freedom, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's great benefits and privileges. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. To be a joint heir and to be identified with him means we have identical inheritance that he has. He's seated at the right hand of God. We're seated at the right hand of God. He has a resurrected body. We're going to have a resurrected body. He spent an eternity with God. We're spending eternity with God. He has authority over the devil. We have authority over the devil. Right? We're joint heirs with him. But in that, is that we need to be like him. He set us free to love like he loves. So again, Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto freedom. Only use not freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious holy word. We thank you tonight that you've loved us with an everlasting love. A love, yes, Father, that you made a decision. Hallelujah, I'm praying, but the Lord just reminded me, you're going to have to make a decision ahead of time to love someone. You can't wait till something happens to decide. You got to make the decision ahead of time. Father, you loved us before the foundation of the world. And because of that love, you've sent us as ambassadors into this world. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Show us how to love, Lord. May our love abound yet more and more in all wisdom and discernment. May we know how to love that person, how to benefit that person, how to reach out to that person that's lonely, how to reach out to that person that thinks nobody cares, how to reach out to that person that doesn't even know you, that we come in contact with during the day. How to reach out, Father God, with that love. And to be willing to lay down our, show us how to do that, Father God, that we might be conformed to the image of your dear Son who loved us and laid down his life for us. Father, we thank you for it tonight. We give you all the praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Greg, do we have our prayer team tonight? If you all want to come, thank you. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here tonight without knowing him, the one who loves you perfectly. Don't leave here tonight without that. Here in just a moment, when we dismiss service, we're going to ask, you can come on down front. The ladies come to the ladies, the men to the men. They'll pray with you according to the word of God, because that's where the answer is. If you've walked away from your relationship with God and you want to get that right tonight, you want to restore fellowship with God, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, or you just want someone to agree with you in prayer, you need healing in your body, you want someone to agree with you in prayer, you come down here tonight. Let's all stand together. Amen. All right. As we're dismissed, just tell somebody that you love them and really mean it. Tell them you love them. All right. And you are dismissed. God bless you. Come on down if you need prayer.